law. So it is a contrast between the law and faith. And Paul has now spent basically three chapters teaching us all the things that God does for us when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. It's all by faith, amen, that the law has been nailed to the cross. The book was written, as we've understood, because Judaizers had come in and begun to convince the Galatian Christians that trusting Christ wasn't enough. They had to add circumcision. They had to add the keeping of the law to get to heaven. And Paul had to write this book to correct those wrong teachings. So now we move on to chapter 4, where Paul explains that we have been rescued from bondage, and that when Jesus came to earth, it was at the exact right time, based on God's program. Amen? And it's all about the fullness of time. So look at verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the fullness of time, let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom. Speak to our hearts powerfully and personally tonight. Thank you for your precious word. We trust in it. And pray the Holy Spirit would now expound it to us. And you would guide us in your truth and be glorified in this service. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So Paul here is continuing on. Remember last week, at the end of the chapter, that beautiful verse 26, we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We're going to heaven because of faith in Christ Jesus. He's the one that takes us to heaven. He's the one that gives us justification. And he finished the chapter by reminding us that if we be Christ's, we're Abraham's seed and heirs. We're heirs. And he says that again there in verse 7 of chapter 4. So, because we're heirs, he's saying, though we're heirs, gives us an allegory, he says, an heir, as long as he's a child, is no different than the servant who's raising the heir, which he's going to give us more of an allegory at the end of the chapter, using Abraham and Hagar and Sarah and Sinai and all that. But he's saying that that heir is under tutors and governors until the appointed time. What is the appointed time? Well, he's talking primarily to Israel, but not only, because Galatians was not a Jewish church. It was a Gentile church. But they had these Judaizers coming in and saying, you guys need to be Jews if you want to go to heaven. So now he's saying, we, verse 3, we, talking primarily about the Jews, but everyone, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. Every single person, until they're saved, is in bondage. Amen? To sin. And we see this. Look at Galatians 5:1, just the next chapter over. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So this bondage here is not talking as much about sin, which we'll look at in a moment. This is talking about the yoke of what? The law. The yoke of bondage. It amazes me how many Christians want to put themselves back under the yoke after they get saved. They get eternal life and heaven, all by faith, and then they want to get back under the yoke of the bondage of the law. How ridiculous is that? And then I'll go over to Ephesians 2:1, and we'll see that we're also, before we get saved, under the bondage of sin. Notice Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened, that means to be given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Before we got saved, we were dead. When we got saved, we received eternal life. We were under the bondage of the law and the bondage of sin. Of course, as we saw, through the law is the knowledge of sin. How do we know we're sinners? But God wrote it down for us, didn't he? So, back to our passage. The focus here is about the fullness of time. Here in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, when it was just the right time. Amen? In God's calendar. Which was 2,000 years ago. And if you look at Ephesians 1 again, this time verse 10, Ephesians 1:10. This, in the fullness of time, a new dispensation came. How do I know this? Because this verse says so. Amen. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. One of the characteristics of this new dispensation in which we find ourselves, called the dispensation of grace, the dispensation of the church, is that we all become one in Christ. We're part of the body of Christ. For by one Spirit we are baptized into one body. That's, again, one of the characteristics of this new time, this new dispensation. The fullness of time was laid out for us to the year. By Daniel, wasn't it? Remember when we went through the book of Daniel? And God laid it out exactly how many weeks of years it would be from the decree to go back and restore Jerusalem, which was under Ezra, until the birth of Jesus Christ would be a certain number of years. And of course, it was exactly that number of years. That's how Herod was able to inquire of the wise men, when should Jesus be born? They just went to the book of Daniel. Said, well, it should be about now. Which, again, proves the fact that this is a supernatural book. Amen? I mean, how could God have told us the year Christ would be born 400 years before it happened? And where he would be born hundreds of years before it happened. That's in the book of Micah. The fullness of time, the exact time God had it all laid out. What did he do in the fullness of time? Galatians 4:4, he sent forth his son. Amen? Aren't you thankful tonight God sent forth his son? Because we wouldn't be here if he hadn't. We'd be on our way to hell. He sent forth his son. This was God saying, I love you to mankind. Look at 1 John chapter 4 and we'll see this. We've heard it enough that love is action, and it is. This was God's love letter to the world when he sent forth his son in the fullness of time. 1 John 4:10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Herein is love. That's a pretty powerful statement. Herein is love. You want to know what love is, just look at Calvary. And then look at verse 14, same chapter. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, the exact right moment that it was supposed to happen, that God had predicted, that God had planned. The fullness of time, God sent forth his son, and then back in Galatians 4:4, made of a woman. Of course, we looked at this when we looked at the Christmas story. God predicted in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, anybody remember from Matthew 1:23? God with us. So one of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel, and it means God with us. Made of a woman. Jesus had to be born of a woman because the sin nature comes through the man. So he had to be born of a virgin. Without the virgin birth, Jesus Christ could not have died sinless as our substitute. And it says also, 1 Timothy 3:16, if you turn there quickly, that the Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. The Lord Jesus Christ came at the right time, made of a woman, and then, Galatians 4:4, made under the law. Remember, Jesus came to fulfill the law, but also to nail it to the cross. But to be the perfect fulfillment of the Old Testament Messiah, he had to be made under the law. In other words, he had to be a descendant of David, as we know. He had to be a descendant of Abraham. He had to meet all the Old Testament prophecies and criteria of the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. And Romans 1:3 says he was made of the seed of David. Other scriptures say he's the line of the tribe of Judah. He had to come from Judah, from Genesis chapter 49. So he had to meet all of those. And that's why God gives us Mary's genealogy and even his adopted father Joseph's genealogy in Matthew and Luke. It was to prove primarily to the Jews that Jesus Christ met all those criteria to be the Old Testament predicted Messiah. So God did all this in the fullness of time. Amen? So that we might receive some amazing blessings, which are in 5, 6, and 7. The first one is redemption. Hallelujah for redemption. It means to buy back. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ we receive redemption. Look at 1 Peter 1:18. If you would, 1 Peter 1:18. We are only redeemed by one thing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Even though redeemed means to buy back, what the Bible's saying here is nobody can purchase redemption with money. Can't be done. You can only be redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. So he came in the fullness of time to bring us redemption. Also, Galatians 4:5, adoption. That we might receive the adoption of sons. We've been adopted into a new family when we receive Jesus Christ by faith, when we receive salvation by faith, and so forth. God not only redeemed us, but he adopted us into his family. Hallelujah. Most of you know John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then, of course, we looked last week at Galatians 3:26. What does it say? You are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So he sent him at just the right time that we might receive redemption, that we might receive adoption. And then, as we saw in chapter 3, that we also might receive God's indwelling. Another one of the characteristics of this age is that God moves in. And we become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, it says that, verse 6. Because your sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The day that we trusted Christ, God moved in. And the Holy Spirit is there now to guide us, to help us with our prayers, right? Romans 8:26. He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Ephesians 1:13, turn there quickly. He moved in to intercede for us. He moved in to convict us. He moved in to guide us into all truth, as we read in John chapter 16. But he also moved in to seal us. Ephesians 1:13. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. People who believe they can lose their salvation believe they can break God's seal. That's pretty powerful. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. God sealed us until the day of redemption. How could you break that seal? You can't. Hallelujah. We are now, 1 Corinthians 6:19, the temple of the Holy Ghost. So God sent forth his Son in the fullness of time, under the law, made of a woman, that we might receive redemption, adoption, the indwelling, and last, of course, we talked about last week, verse 7, inheritance. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Look at Romans 8:17. The majority of our inheritance we've not received yet, even though it's ours. We're still in this old body, which just keeps causing more and more pain and trouble. Romans 8:17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. 1 Peter 1:4 talks about our inheritance, and it says, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. The inheritance that we receive when we became children of God can't be taken away. It can't be defiled. It isn't going to wear out. Amen? It's an inheritance that we don't deserve, but we receive it because we are children of God, and that means we are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen? John 14:2. He said, I go to prepare a place and I will come again and receive you unto myself. So in the fullness of time, when God decided it was time, God sent Jesus Christ to be born of a woman, to be born under the law, just in the exact right time, that we might receive redemption, adoption, indwelling, and an inheritance. Reserved in heaven, it says. We have a reservation. Hallelujah. And it can't be defiled, and it's incorruptible. All because God sent Jesus Christ in the fullness of time to die as our substitute, as the perfect, sinless man, and shed his blood for our redemption and justification. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word, for this beautiful passage. I pray, Lord, that it would just make us that much more thankful for what we've received through Christ. Lord, that we would honor you with our lives and we would tell others what you've done, that they also might receive these beautiful things through Jesus Christ's salvation. So thanks for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much in Jesus' name.